Killing Her Little Darling by Merlin Ward. Read by Pearl Hewitt. If he had a fault, it was that he was too nice. He wanted to do too much for his fellow humans, and sometimes his kindness was not wanted or needed. He felt a failure. He wasn't, but he'd set his sights too high. Perhaps his ambitions were beyond his reach. The recession had taken its toll, and he was struggling to make ends meet as a copywriter. At one time, his script writing would augment his income. But not having an agent had severely stunted his writing career. No matter how good the script, how creative the story, the answer from every literary agent he wrote to was always the same: "We're not taking on any more clients at this current time." He tried every angle to get agents to consider him, but their doors seemed permanently fused shut, including their Twitter accounts, where he was often blocked and reported for spamming. It was Friday afternoon when he saw the email. Another rejection. Agents like to clear their desks before the weekend, and sending out emails that inevitably patronize hopeful writers were always the last jobs to be done before opening the Sancerre. This time the writer felt truly bitter, because a graduate trainee had read his work, not the agent, as promised. To cheer himself up, the writer turned to Facebook, and soon he was happily rattling off opinions to his online friends when he saw a post about a young boy needing a bone marrow transplant. It was the boy's only hope of surviving leukemia. His bone marrow had ceased to produce blood cells, and he needed a donor that was a perfect match to reboot his system. The writer already gave blood because it made him feel good to give something that money cannot buy. He was a donor in demand by the National Health Service, as he was not HIV positive, he'd never had hepatitis B or C, he'd never injected himself with illegal drugs, and he only had sex with his wife, not with drug users, prostitutes or fellow men. At the blood donor centre, they made the writer feel special, as having donated 40 units to date, he had positively impacted more than 100 lives. Now, as he read the article about the little dying boy, he saw a very slim chance to do something really extraordinary. He always carried a donor card in case he had a fatal accident, but this was a great opportunity for him to save a little life and for him to live to see the result. With a spring in his step, he went for the test. The mobile phone buzzed across the writer's desk as he was about to start another round of emails to literary agents. The hospital wanted him to return for more stem cell tests. This was good news. He had learned that human leukocyte antigens are proteins that live on the surface of white blood cells, and that the donor and recipient need to be a near-perfect match if the cancer is to be beaten. The writer felt like a star. Without him, the boy had no hope, but with his precious stem cells he could give the boy a chance of life. He knew the boy's name from the Facebook article, but his mother's name was different. She had been married, was now divorced, but in her professional life she had always used her maiden name, and it was a name that struck a chord with the writer. On the way home, he checked through his emails, his blood pressure rising with every reread rejection message from a literary agent. "Your work is of an extremely high calibre. However, we have come to the difficult decision that we will not be able to help you with representation at this time. I'm afraid that due to the pressures of our existing client lists, we are not able to consider beginning any new conversations at this point in time. I am only concentrating on my existing clients for now, and I'm not looking to take on anyone else. We are not considering new clients due to the pressure of existing workload. I am sorry we can't help, but thank you for the thought." Bitterness building, he found 4 rejection emails from the boy's mother, who was also a literary agent. In her most recent message, she had given him a few tips on how to improve his writing skills. You should try and avoid writing on the nose. Be more obtuse. And you write using too many metaphors. Perhaps, hardest of all, you must develop the discipline to kill all your little darlings, those bits of writing that you love too much. I wish you luck in finding an agent more suited to your skill. Even though the email had arrived over a year before, the words from the agent cut to his bone marrow. He went to the hospital, and having Googled a photo of the boy's mother, managed to track her down in a corridor outside the children's wing. Once he had explained who he was, the agent almost fell on him with gratitude. Over the next few days, they met several times for coffee, and eventually he screwed up the courage to ask the boy's mother to read some of his work with a view to representation. The woman's expression changed from almost total devotion to frosty aloofness. She agreed to read his script, but she would make no promises. He opened his bag and gave her a manuscript for a TV series he was developing. The agent looked at the bound pages as though they were dirty laundry, but did eventually take them. The next time the writer and agent met was when the harvesting of the stem cells was due to take place. They went for coffee, and he asked the agent what she thought of his script. Looking uncomfortable, she admitted to only skim-reading his thriller. He expected little more, but was still hugely disappointed. She went on to state that although he was clearly a writer of merit, she hoped he understood why she could not offer representation at this time. The writer slumped in his chair. Despite all he was doing for her son, she would still not give him a break. Dejected, he got up to leave, as it was time to donate his stem cells. The agent smiled to herself as she watched him go, his shoulders hunched, but his blood ripe for the taking. She had judged the man right. She knew, despite her rejection, that he would still save her son. He was a good man and a good writer. But there were many good writers out there. Every day she was bombarded with requests for representation, but her reputation as a top agent was too important to sully with anyone who was not truly of the highest caliber. The writer did not go to the donor center, but made his way out of the hospital. For the first time, he felt broken, useless, not good enough, an utter failure. Tears streaming, he wandered the streets, paying no attention to where he was going. I knew this because he rang me on his mobile and told me what had happened, and how he felt that his value to the world was no more than the sum of his spare parts. As his wife of many years, I knew how much he wanted to succeed as a writer. I knew how hard he had worked to get really good at his craft. And now, despite his big heart, the cold-hearted bitch of an agent wouldn't even give him a chance. The superior cow couldn't bring herself to offer my husband a metaphorical lifeline, even though he was offering her son, her little darling, a literal lifeline. How could she do that to him? Later that day, I had a visit from two police officers who told me that my husband was on life support after being knocked down by a bus. A witness had seen him talking on his mobile when he stepped off the pavement without looking. At the hospital, I stood at the foot of the bed, and it did not take any medical qualifications for me to know that my husband would never recover. The donor card in his wallet had been found, and I agreed that a transplant team could harvest all the organs they needed. Two people would benefit from his liver, and two others would each get a kidney. Another person would get his heart and lungs, another his small bowel, and another his pancreas. I knew that my lovely man would want to help as many people as possible. It took 2 days for the mother of the little boy to find my husband. She'd called his mobile 100 times, but I'd always rejected her call. I wanted her to suffer as I was suffering. We met for the first time, and I could see the terror in her eyes, and then the relief when she saw that my husband was still alive, albeit on life support. I told her about the planned organ donations. Then she asked me to arrange for my husband to be moved to the same hospital as her son, as he had to take priority. I shook my head. She begged me, but I had read all her emails. You should be grateful. Thanks to you spurning my husband, the lives of 7 people are to be saved. The agent watched as I kissed my husband goodbye, and then they wheeled him away to transplant his organs before turning off the life support machine.
I will do anything you say. I will sell all your husband's scripts. I will make him famous. I will make him the writer he always wanted to be. A writer he deserves to be.
She wept. She begged me. She told me that she would do everything in her power to honor his talent. I listened. I made her wait. I led her to believe there was a chance I would change my mind, and then I delivered the crushing blow. I hope you can appreciate why, on this occasion, I must concentrate on my husband's existing recipients and reject your application for his stem cells. I wish you luck in finding another donor. A few weeks later, her little darling died.